Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for Armchair and the Saints Happy Hour podcast comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ARMCHAIR.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saint sincerity and stupidity.
I want to point out that you asked Kevin a football question just now, and I feel like I was in bizarro world where he
knew the schedule.
He had knowledge of the next two opponents.
Kevin, did you watch the game?
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody, welcome to Saints Happy Hour podcast. Well, supposed to be joined by Kevin, and Andrew will join us eventually. Maybe they will. Maybe they're voting in the Iowa caucus, Dave. But right now, it's me and Dave. Dave, I have to say.
Do you think Kevin watched the game yesterday?
I think he did. He makes time for the Super Bowl, and he can get it streaming, you know, illegally pretty easily because it's out there, accessible.
I don't think you need to get it illegally. It's on the box. You just need a pair of rabbit ears, right?
Probably. No, what I was going to say is I want to thank the NFL because for the last, I would say, probably since the beginning of time, like, middle-aged men have been oppressed and underserved, and, you know, they give
especially
things to all other groups, minorities, but middle-aged men, we don't get anything. And the NFL finally rectified that and said, you know what? We're going to give a halftime show. We're not going to gear it to teens or women or whoever. We're going to gear it to middle-aged men. It's going to be possibly pornographic, and it's going to be amazing, and you're going to need to shower after. Here you go, middle-aged men, 30 to 60. Enjoy it. It was glorious. I loved it. Dave, my kid actually, because I kept telling, I was like, we got to hurry up and do this bath. I want to go watch Jennifer Lopez dance. And we went downstairs, and he's watching her dance on the pole, and he's like, is she dancing? I'm like, she is. So I just want to say I love the halftime show. It was the greatest halftime Super Bowl show in the history of the world.
Now, wait. Now, the Who performed at the Super Bowl that the Saints won. Which group of people was that for?
That was for nobody. That was an act of terrorism on America's soil. I thought they were going to, two or three of them were going to drop dead during the performance. I think Roger Daltrey was dead, and they propped him up like Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's in the movie. You disagree?
What happened?
Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
We lost you for a little bit, I think.
Yeah. So what was your thought of the halftime show?
So I enjoyed it. It was good. The tongue thing with Shakira, that was a little weird. That wasn't necessarily sexy. That was kind of almost like a little scary. I don't know.
Some sort of Middle Eastern thing to say love or something, they said.
Okay. I didn't pick up on that. I didn't pick up what Shakira was laying down there. But the booty jiggle was nice. I went on Twitter immediately. I knew as soon as the booty jiggle happened that there was going to be a GIF of it on Twitter in under 2 minutes. And the internet delivered, so I was happy about that.
Andrew, are you with us?
I am with you.
What did you? I thought
mind, body, and spirit.
The booty jiggle was great. It was a little weird when she brought out her daughter after just having just nothing but pure just fire hosing America with sex, and then she just brought out her daughter, which got it, made it weird.
Well, I did think that. Well, I mean, her daughter was talented. I was actually thinking in that moment watching it live. I was thinking like. It must be weird to be that girl and to have your mom be this crazy center of attention sex symbol that's performing on national TV in front of a billion people.
Are you talking about J-Lo or Shakira?
I'm talking about her daughter, like what it's like, what it's got to be like to be there on stage.
Shakira or J-Lo?
Well, J-Lo's daughter on stage, right?
The one who had her daughter out on stage at the halftime. Did you watch the halftime performance, Andrew?
Barely.
Were you so mesmerized and blinded by the sex that you blacked out?
I gotta say, it wasn't so much the physicality of it was shocking. Like, I didn't realize J-Lo was so athletic. Like some of the moves she was making, she looked like a professional athlete.
I mean, she trains with A-Rod. I'm sure she's on some sort of chemical, right?
I mean,
she's probably getting him the
that actually explains a lot.
The best, she's probably getting him the best of the best. The halftime show was amazing, obviously, but I have to say, Drew Brees not being one of the top 100 fucking players in the history of the NFL, I was ready to punch Peter King in the dick over it.
It's so fucking ridiculous.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
But here's my question.
Let's not invite the quarterback who's got the most passing yards in NFL history. Let's not invite the quarterback who's got the most touchdowns, passing touchdowns in NFL history. Let's not invite the guy who's got the most consecutive games with a touchdown. Let's not invite him. Let's not invite that guy.
Did you mention the completion percentage?
Let's not invite the guy. It's a fucking joke, man.
With more 5,000-yard seasons than everybody else combined.
It's a fucking joke, and Drew Brees won't ever come out and say it, but it's a fucking insult.
Look at Marino. Marino's on there.
It's insulting. Marino's out there. So don't tell me, don't make the fucking argument that it's about rings, okay? If Marino's going to be out there, it's fucking insulting. It's totally insulting. It's totally ridiculous. And it makes a joke, a mockery of the whole thing. The whole fucking thing.
Here's my question. Andrew, do you think Sean Payton, as he was watching it and he knew that Drew Brees wasn't on the top 100 list, do you think he texted Brees? Because he says he doesn't want to try to influence Brees to come back. But do you think he texted him like, hey, Drew, you watching this bullshit? You know, to just like tweak him to try to motivate him to come back. Do you think he texted him the John Wick gif? Yeah, I think I'm back. Do you think he tried to influence Drew any, or did he do nothing at all? Because I would have been texting Drew, you see this bullshit, Drew? See you in 2 weeks in the off-season program.
I was kicked off Skype momentarily because Dave was so fired up. I think my Skype exploded. The thing to me is the goalpost, and it's been like this kind of Brees' whole career, right? When he never won an MVP, it's like, the goalposts keep moving to slight Drew. It's like Yeah, it's really like it's about the stats. And Marino, I know he didn't win a ring, but he had like the yardage record. Well, Breeze breaks that record, but then it becomes about the rings, and that's why Brady gets in. And then you know, Brett Favre, like, what argument can you make? Like, Breeze has broken all his records. He only has one Super Bowl. I guess Peyton Manning has two now because he had a defense good enough to carry his corpse to the Lombardi Trophy the second time. But would you say if he hadn't won that second that he's better than Breeze? Because Breeze just broke all his records, you know? And by the way, he beat him head-to-head in a Super Bowl, just FYI. But, you know, it's too bad. Because, like, I mean, even Elway, you know, Elway has two Super Bowls, but like you compare them statistically. I mean, it's just, and I realize that Breeze is in a statistical era and numbers might be inflated because of the way the game is played and the way the game's officiated.
But his numbers blow everyone else's out the water.
He is the best. He is the best. Like of all his contemporaries, why is he, if you're going to say that those numbers don't matter and they're inflated and you're going to say that, you know, we're in the passing era, so we shouldn't take it as seriously, then how can you elevate Peyton Manning and Brady over Breeze when Breeze has them both beat?
It is literally akin to fucking having an NBA all-time team and not fucking having Michael Jordan there. It is the same fucking thing. It is ridiculous. And it's ridiculous that
Jordan's more like Brady.
It is ridiculous that Drew Brees,
who's the NBA all-time
synonymous
scoring leader? Is it Kareem?
Like who's a
it's
guy
ridiculous.
That's won one NBA title? Like Breeze is like Charles Barkley. No, Barkley's
no,
not a good
because
he doesn't own records.
I mean, it'd be like the NBA having a top 100 list and not putting Kareem on it. He's the leading scorer. Everything, you know. It's maybe not analogous because Kareem had what he had a title in Milwaukee and three or four
tons
with the
titles,
Lakers, but still. I mean, but here's my question.
Kobe Bryant?
Too soon?
I mean, seriously, though, would Kobe Bryant be a better example?
No, maybe. You know, actually, I'm thinking about it. You know who I think would be a good example? Because I think he only won one Stanley Cup, Wayne Gretzky. How many Stanley Cups did Wayne Gretzky
win? Wayne Gretzky won a bunch of cups.
I think he – oh, no. He won with Edmonton. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
That's
right.
Still a pretty good one, though.
No, because he won like three with it, or two with Edmonton. Then he won with the Rangers, I think. Did he win with the Rangers?
Yeah. And Peter King was like, well, you know, the last 2 years he's broken all the records, but it's really about the first 98 years of the NFL. Are you fucking kidding me, you pud? Here's the thing, though. Here's my question.
Wait, why? Why is it about the first 98?
Well, because the last two is when Breeze got a lot of the records, right?
Yeah, but it's still within the 100. Right?
I know. It's the thing is with Breeze is I don't know, the media, they move the goalposts, but they have some sort of weird thing where they,
you know, that argument is, Ralph. You know what that is? That's like saying, oh well, if it was the best 103 players after 103 years, then Breeze would be like number 30 on the list. That's basically what Peter King is arguing.
Yeah.
What a great fucking argument that is, Peter.
But here's my question, though, Dave. Do you think this slight, does it in any way move Breeze towards not retiring? Because Florio's all in on Breeze is thinking about seriously retiring. I want to punch Florio in the dick, too.
The only thing I would say is it's certainly not pushing him in the direction of retiring. It can only push him toward playing again and avenging this fucking disaster, monstrosity.
I wonder if Drew Brees is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I really do.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ!
I really
do. You know what, Dave? Though you say that with disgust, like it's so obvious, and obviously we all feel that way. But his exclusion from the MVP, his exclusion from the top 100 players, is it really that inconceivable that these assholes would find a way to spite him and kind of keep him out for a few years when he's eligible? I mean, obviously he's going to get in quickly, but would it be that shocking if he didn't get in first ballot and like a couple times he didn't make it?
I'm telling you, I think it's like a 30% chance. I'm going to tell you why. They did it to Terrell Owens because he was kind of a jerk to the media and they hated him. But it's such a small room. It's only like 45, 50 voters. I'm telling you, when Drew Brees retires, they'll be like, well, he only had one Super Bowl. He had a bunch of playoff losses. And they had Bounty Gate. And even though Drew wasn't involved in it, we're going to just stamp that stain on him too. So he's going to have to wait a year. Like, I think there's a 35% chance that they might do that. And if they do, we're going to burn Canton to the ground. I'm getting a bus. We're going to crowd. We're going to crowdfund it, and we're going to go to Canton, and we're going to burn it to the ground. Except for Benson Field, we'll leave that alone. But the actual building in Canton, the Hall of Fame, it burns to the ground.
I swear, man, some days, like, I hate the NFL so much. I mean, I love.
That's why we got to start watching XFL this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Saints. I'll never
get into it.
It's my team. Yeah, I'm ride or die Saints, but man, I hate the NFL sometimes.
I mean. I was glad that were either of you excited that the refereeing yesterday left a lot to be desired?
I just thought it was so funny that Kittle gets called for offensive pass interference, and it's exactly what Kyle Rudolph did to PJ Williams on the last play of the game.
There was nothing funny about that at all.
I mean, if you look at those two plays side by side, and I actually wasn't even upset that no flag was thrown because – when after the game, when they made the Riveron, you basically said it's consistent with how we've been calling that all year. I kind of agreed. I was like, yeah, I mean, the push off, usually they're kind of letting that slide. And, you know, it sucked. But like, yeah, you know, I feel like you have an argument for offensive pass interference there. But I know that's how they officiated. So I accepted that. But to see it happen again exactly the same way. I mean, you look at those two plays side by side. There is no difference. Zero in terms of the push off and how Kittle gets himself open, and to see the flag get thrown in the Super Bowl was just comical. It was just laughable. And like, I see so many 49ers fans on social media whining about it, and I feel zero sympathy. None.
I think the explanation they offered, I thought they said that in the one against the Saints, there was contact by both defenders, whereas the one they called in the Super Bowl, there was no contact from the defender.
It's not a lie, if you believe it.
Just George Kittle.
I mean, here's the thing that was very, very delightful about the Super Bowl. Me and Dave talked about it before the show. Falcons Twitter as the 49ers were choking with Kyle Shanahan, choking another Super Bowl where the team that he was coaching had a 97% chance to win.
Wait, what happened last time he choked? I can't remember.
Dude. Just to make it 28-3. Bryant knocks it through. Arthur Blank loving it. Up by 25.
Yeah, that all happened. Right. So yeah, Falcons fans were just loving it. And me and Dave were talking about before the show, I totally understand why Falcons fans love it. Because, yeah, as Saints fans, we'll always say the Falcons choked, ha ha ha, 28-3, we'll never get over it. But as Falcons fans, now that Kyle Shanahan has done it again, if you're a Falcons fan, you can just be like, man, that was on Shanahan. That's all his fucking fault. He's done that shit twice. And he sort of gets all the blame for it, for both of them. And it takes it off of them a little. So I get it, why they did it. But it was just, they were just piling on him. And it was delightful. But
this wasn't even on the same planet.
But would, I mean, if that had, if,
no, no, but I mean, yeah.
I mean, to even try to draw a comparison, I mean, this was a game that was 20-10 against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, no one was ever under any illusion that the Chiefs could come back and win that game. Like, that was up for grabs, and the Chiefs are explosive enough.
I mean, they had a 97%.
That was totally in play.
It had, when it was 3rd and 15 for the Chiefs and they were down 20-10,
oh my
San Francisco
God,
had a 97% chance of winning the game.
how could they allow that?
Yeah, and let's not forget him, Shanahan, not taking the timeout before the first half.
That was horrific. And to me,
that was Les Miles bad.
If I was a San Francisco fan, that would make me scared that Jimmy Garoppolo is not good enough, because Kyle Shanahan basically just said, I don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo to be a good enough quarterback. Because they could have got the ball back with 90 seconds left, and they got the ball to start the third quarter. I mean, that's like, Andrew, isn't that like textbook analytics? Like, I mean, that's a critical swing.
Sean Payton would start calling those timeouts like 4 minutes left.
Right? I mean,
if Garoppolo had any balls, he could have called the timeout himself. He didn't. I mean, I'm serious.
I mean, it was just awful. And the thing is, for me,
you know where that Super Bowl was really missing for me? A little Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill is doing a media blitz this week. He did it during the Super Bowl. He is really good on TV, and he's really good looking. And by the way, some of you people like DM me on Twitter, and you're like, I'm tired of the Taysom Hill. That's all you talk about. That is a lie. You people, I've seen the numbers.
That's ridiculous.
We could do a Taysom Hill podcast every day. And if my bookie and Manscaped would sponsor that shit, you people would listen. Me and Andrew did a Taysom Hill podcast last week. It did the same numbers as a regular season Saints game for our big show. Like, you people can't get enough of Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill as a podcast topic is top 100 in NFL history. That I can promise.
I mean, here's the thing. So me and Andrew were like, how can we work Taysom Hill into every single off-season podcast that we have? So we're gonna get to that topic in a little bit. But I have to say, Dave, I was stunned on Saturday when Mike Triplett, even before the NFL awards came out, he was like, Michael Thomas has a real shot to win Offensive Player of the Year. I didn't even think that was possible. I was like, they're going to give both of them to Lamar or whatever. And Michael Thomas, he won the award. He's only the second Saint ever to do it. Drew Brees has done it twice. I thought Archie did it in the 70s, but he hadn't. How pleasantly surprised were you that Michael Thomas actually won that award?
Yeah, very surprised, very impressive. You know, good for him. He totally deserves it. Only the second wide receiver to ever get it, other than Jerry Rice. I mean, that's incredible company. So, you know, he had a great season. He had an incredible season, a record-breaking season. I certainly think he deserved it. And, you know, it's the least they could do was to give that to him.
Andrew, were you surprised?
Yeah, I mean, the position he plays, first of all, receiver. I mean, it would take a record-breaking performance to be as a receiver to have a shot. I mean, quarterback and running back, you know, we've seen guys like Adrian Peterson, if they're over 2,000 yards, Terrell Davis, you know, guys like that have won it. But I think unless you have the kind of season that Michael Thomas had, you're not even in the conversation. You know, and there's been a lot of unique and elite company at receiver to get that. So I was a little surprised. I mean, you know, and again, like, he's going up against Mahomes. Now, Mahomes got hurt this year, but Lamar Jackson was eligible for that. Russell Wilson had a ridiculous year. So for him to win over those guys is, I mean, it really is incredible. And I think, unfortunately, as Saints fans, we probably don't put a ton of weight in it because of the way the season ended and we're frustrated and whatever. But how lucky are we to have – and he's only the second player in Saints history to get it. Brees got it twice. And when was it, Ralph? 11? And was it 07?
The years they screwed him out of
MVP.
MVP, that's right. The years they screwed him out of MVP, they went ahead and gave him Offensive Player of the Year. But
right.
But so he's the third time a Saint has ever won that award. And the Saints have never won MVP. So, I mean, it's significant.
Yeah, I mean, I was just surprised the media tends to fuck over the Saints, as you have said before. The interesting thing with Michael Thomas is I just think that dude, it's stunning, Dave, that he signed a $100 million contract less than a year ago, and we already are like, it's a bargain. He's underpaid. Like, that to me, that to me is just incredible. That a guy.
Well, I mean, that was one of the talking points when, you know, when that was news and when he got that contract. You know, the people from the organization said it, fans said it. And, you know, he's a guy that is not just going to sign this and he's loaf off. He's only going to work harder. He's the opposite of my defensive tackle guy.
Nick Fairley. What's his name?
Yeah. He's a bizarro Nick Fairley. You know, you pay him, the more money you pay him, the harder he works.
Bizarro Nick Fairley. I love that. But we've said this a bunch of times on the podcast, so I'm sure if you listen to us a lot, you're probably sick of hearing us say this. But I really think the feather in his cap is that Breeze was out for 5 weeks. I mean, the fact that he was able to sustain himself statistically when Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback, and really there was no drop-off at all. He just kept doing him, regardless of who the quarterback was. And I really think that was probably as strong of...
Well, he won by two votes.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But I just think with the Bridgewater thing, I think if Breeze had been the quarterback the whole year, I don't know that he would have won the award. I really think that was maybe the trump card that he had where... Yeah, man, he kept doing it with Bridgewater, so it almost didn't matter who his quarterback
was. Well, here's the thing, too, is and another, you know, as we got sidetracked with the nonsense and the Super Bowl show and all of it, it enraged me almost as much as Drew Brees getting left off of the top 100 list. For Coach of the Year, Sean Payton got one fucking vote. It's almost like the media just decided in November that Teddy Bridgewater going 5-0 wasn't that big a deal, and yeah, we expected that to happen all along. Like, I understand if you want to give it to somebody else, but to give Sean Payton one fucking vote, Dave, I just feel like that means he's never winning that award ever again. It's just that simple.
Who won it?
Harbaugh.
Oh.
But if Sean Payton can go 13-3 and Drew Brees misses 5 weeks and they go undefeated and Sean Payton gets one vote, he's never winning that award. The Saints could go undefeated and he cannot win. No, he will not win it.
Yeah, no, but John Harbaugh is a great fucking coach because he had the league MVP. You know, if you're the coach of the team that has the fucking league MVP and it's a talent like Lamar Jackson, then you should automatically be out of the fucking running to be coach of the fucking year because you've got an advantage over everybody else.
I mean, Mike McCarthy thought Taysom Hill was barely good enough for his practice squad. All right, that's the first thing. John Harbaugh thought that Will Lutz was, I mean, basically they cut him, right? Yeah. Granted, they also had Tucker, so maybe that's not a good
That
argument,
is the worst idea I've ever heard in my lifetime.
Yes, it's horrible, this idea.
I mean, the dude from the Bills got two. Mike Tomlin got two votes. Mike freaking Tomlin had two votes. And the dude from the Bills had two votes. Sean Payton had one.
Tomlin had the same deal. He had to deal with quarterback issues the entire season.
I mean, all I know is Sean Payton has had to work with a quarterback that isn't top 100. I mean, he's freaking miracle worker.
Also a good point.
You listen to this podcast because you love sports, you love the Saints, and you probably love to gamble. And if you love to gamble, MyBookie is the best online gambling experience there is. They have the safest online app. You can get a gamble on anything you want. You can get a gamble on the Super Bowl, basketball, the Pelicans, Zion, over under, how many three-pointers he's going to make. You can parlay different sports, any kind of bet you want to make. If you're a degenerate like me, you can parlay the Pelicans with EPL, British soccer, And right now, MyBookie has a special offer for Saints Happy Hour listeners. You get a 100% sign-up bonus. That's right. Use the code CHAIR, go to mybookie.ag, and you get a 100% sign-up bonus. Put in 200, get the extra 200 to play with. MyBookie.ag is the best online gambling site anywhere. Again, go to mybookie.ag, use the code CHAIR, and get a 100% sign-up bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. So,
hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Speaking of Saints quarterbacks, we said that we were going to work Taysom Hill into every podcast for the big show the whole entire offseason. And here's how we're going to do it. We're just going to ask ridiculous questions about what Taysom Hill could or could not do. And since they have the Iowa caucus tonight to kick off 2020 election season, Dave, would Taysom Hill be the greatest president in the history of the United States? I think I can make a case. Do you agree?
He'd certainly corner the
Mormon vote.
Yeah, Utah's in the bag.
Utah's in the bag.
You know, obviously, yes, I think he, as far as his capabilities are concerned, he would just make a wonderful president. I'm a little concerned he might be too attractive. He might be too good looking.
Yeah, politics, you know? politics is Hollywood for ugly people. That is correct.
Yeah, he just might be too attractive, might be distracting, and it also might be intimidating to some male voters.
Jack of all trades, master of none. That could be used against him.
So I don't know. I'm conflicted.
Here's the thing, though. People would say he doesn't have experience, Andrew, but I would say we've never actually seen him fail, so let's give him a shot. That would be my pitch for Taysom Hill to be president.
Yeah, I'd vote for him.
I mean, do you think Taysom Hill as his running mate, would he pick like an offensive lineman, or would he pick like a Kamara? Would he go fun? Would he go serious? What kind of?
I don't know. The thing is, he's friends with everyone on the team. He's special teams. He's offense. He's offensive line. He's receiver. He's tight end. I feel like he's got too many buddies on the team. You know, it's like if you're in the offensive line room, like your buddies are the guard and the tackles and the center. Like that's it. Like that's who you hang out with. If you're a receiver, those are the guys you hang out with. Taysom Hill, like he's in every position meeting. How could he even begin to pick?
I think there's a significant portion of the fan base, Dave, that would totally vote Taysom Hill president. No questions asked. Over Drew Brees. Over Sean Payton.
There's a big section of NFL fans that hate Taysom Hill, though. The stat nerds.
It's going to be their Armageddon. Because I really believe, Dave, Drew Brees comes back. I think they're going to play Taysom Hill. They're going to try to play him like 30-40% of the plays like they did at the end of the year. Not necessarily at quarterback, but they're going to play him a ton, and that means he's going to get more snaps at quarterback. I believe we're going to see analytics nerds literally die on Twitter in 2020.
Looking forward to that. But in all seriousness, I would like to see them use him more as a wide receiver. I think that's if he's not going to be our next quarterback, of course.
I mean, he's not
the heir apparent.
He's a really good receiver, Andrew. He doesn't have that quarterback. I'm trying to think. Who is the quarterback for the Jets? Oh, Brad Smith. They ran him all kinds of different things. Cordell Stewart, when he was with Pittsburgh, before he became the full-time quarterback, he did it. There's another guy that I'm thinking of. He quarterbacked for the Jets, too. Not Brad Smith. It was another guy under Parcells. But they would do stuff at receiver.
Terrell Pryor, too.
Although Terrell Pryor is kind of like Taysom Hill in a way, like they just – When they do receiver stuff, they didn't look like a quarterback playing receiver. They looked like a wide receiver. And Taysom Hill does that, man. Like, on the touchdown against Minnesota and other times. Like, he just runs good routes and doesn't look like a quarterback when he's doing it, which is just – it's just phenomenal. But I want Taysom Hill to be my president. I really, really do. I think he could do – I think he could do –
Would you settle for your Saints quarterback?
I mean, I think he could do both jobs. Like, I mean, if the Saints win 10, 11 games, Dave, Peyton will give them they'll have victory Monday, so Taysom could play the game and then fly to Washington, do some president stuff, and then, you know, they have off Tuesday. He comes back Wednesday, back to work, and it's only through – worst case scenario for the country, it's only through February, and then he can go be, you know, full time president or whatever. Like,
yeah, I mean, his football schedule probably takes up less time than Trump's golf schedule, so I think it's fine. I think it's
yeah, okay. And I mean, people say they get exhausted of all the presidential news. With Taysom Hill, man, you would just forget that he's president for like months at a time. We could try it out. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, Jason Champagne, Antoine Randall.
Oh there. Yeah, that's true. He played quarterback. He actually was the reverse. He always looked like a wide receiver trying to play quarterback. Whenever the Pittsburgh did the trick play, and you're always like, he was a quarterback in college. That's weird. You know, I guess Julian Edelman too, for the Patriots.
Think about the ratings for Saints games if the president is playing on your team. Like, everybody wants to see what's going to happen to the president in the game. Like, is he going to get concussed? Is he going to get CTE?
I didn't think of that. I just thought of, like, the post-game interview. Like, when, you know, like, Aaron Andrews would be like, hey, Taysom, great game. You scored 2 touchdowns. You threw for another. What about the budget? What about the crime bill? And then Taysom Hill can be like, hey, I talk about president stuff on Monday.
Yeah, we're celebrating the win today. Today's all about celebrating the victory. Tomorrow, I'm going to move on to watching tape on the budget.
And hashtag, we appreciate your service. And he would like salute. As he gave away the interview, like when the president, they go on Marine One, the little helicopter, he would salute after every interview. I think that would
helicopter be just lands on the field and he just gets flying.
There you
away
go.
To the White House.
Oh, or Andrew, if the game goes into overtime, the helicopter has to circle the stadium a couple times. Then people get mad because they're wasting taxpayer money because Marine One had to circle for, you know, an extra quarter because it went to overtime.
Now, wait, if the Saints win the Super Bowl and they go to visit the White House, does he have to visit himself?
Yeah, I think so.
And would he be mad if players supported the other party and didn't vote for him and was like, I'm not going to the White House because Taysom Hill's president? Would that make 2021 really awkward for the Saints?
Yeah.
Just, I mean,
it's like Traquan, I'm never throwing to you again.
Is Traquan, is he going to be on the team in 2020, Andrew?
Yeah, it's not a given. I mean, he's probably going to make it by sheer function of the fact that Ted Ginn is going to leave. And so now they're down to like Michael Thomas and like one half bodied able receiver. I mean, what's his competition at this point? Kirkwood? Deontay Harris, you know? So
I literally forgot Kirkwood was even alive until you mentioned his name just now.
I'm not sure that he is.
Probably not. So I don't know how to transition.
We can find out on cameo.com for only $20.
We need to have a meeting for that to decide what we're going to do with Cameo. By the way, everyone, you should still support us. We are trying to plan a live show for later in the year. Your patron donations help with that. We sent out the swag for January. Curtis,
my wife,
she did all the hard work. So if you're expecting a T-shirt, a koozie, a magnet, you'll get them. But if you sign up at $7 a month, you get a koozie and a magnet. as soon as you sign up, you should do it. $7 a month. You get a podcast every day. Other Saints podcasts, they take a break. They say, oh, we'll see you in March. Not us. We go every day. It might be Taysom Hill related, but it's every day. So I don't know how to transition from the silliness to serious topics, but Andrew, the Saints helping out the Archdiocese of New Orleans Catholic Church. It just keeps on going. I don't know necessarily that it's gotten worse, but
it hasn't gotten better.
Just the salaciousness of it, because we don't see the email, so the attorneys for the victims are like, they're helping with pick out the who, what priests were on the list, they're doing this, they're doing that. And until we see the emails, if we see them, like, the attorneys can say whatever, and you don't know if it's true or not. The NFL says they're not investigated. I'm not really necessarily worried about it, but it does make me mad. I would like the Saints to go through an offseason without a fucking scandal. That would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
What would we talk about?
I think it's so much like the Ray Rice video. You know, it's just, as long as it doesn't come out, like, it's all hearsay. It's all like, because here's the thing, the prosecution can say whatever they want about what they have, and if the exact wording of the emails is not,
well, it's not a criminal. It's legal, so it would be like the plaintiff, right? It wouldn't be like the prosecution.
Oh, right. Yeah. But my point is, like, I think if the email gets out where you start to read exact language, and it becomes a New York Post article where you've got lifted script of Greg Bensel emails, where it says, you know, kind of like you said, salacious stuff that you just read it and you're like, oh my God, that sounds terrible. Then it becomes like the Ray Rice video where you can no longer ignore it. And even though we knew it all along, and we knew that Ray Rice hit his wife, everybody knew that. And the NFL was kind of ignoring it, and they kind of half suspended him, and he was back in the league, and, you know, we were ready to kind of ignore it. And then the video comes out, and it's like nothing changed. Like, we knew that what he had done, it was out there. Everyone knew it. But somehow, like, visualizing it makes it worse, which, first of all, is ridiculous. But that's the world we live in. And so I think as long as this doesn't come out, then it's just one guy speaking vaguely about what he read. And I don't think anything's going to happen. And so I think the Saints, the best thing that can happen to the Saints is for that to not come out.
Dave, do you think it's getting worse, or it's just still trending at awful?
It's plateaued. I mean, it hasn't gotten worse yet. You know, it's just, it certainly can get worse, but like I said, like Andrew said, it really only gets worse if those emails have to get released.
Yeah, so I just, like, that's the thing with that's difficult talking about this topic. It's all just rampant speculation, and I just, whenever it happens, like, if they're going to release all the emails, can they do it, like, after the draft but before training camp? Like, I don't want all the salaciousness and awfulness to ruin the Saints free agency and draft. I want to be able to we could use it would be perfect, like, right in the dead period between the draft and the start of camp, where there's no news except bad news. Just slide it right into that window. So we got a lot of
Twitter.
I'm
just realizing now Kevin was supposed to be joining us, and he hasn't. I'm getting a little worried.
I hope no one's in his house chasing
him
around.
Yeah, I'm wondering if a strange psychotic woman has cornered him in a room in his apartment.
Or he was doing household chores, and some sort of tragic accident happened. So
also, definitely
we got Twitter questions. This is from Alfredo. What are the position groups, Andrew, you're not worried about this offseason for the Saints roster?
Whew. I guess, well, I was going to say defensive line, but Onyemata, we got to re-sign him. Does kicker and punter count as a position group?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Specialists? Because I'll throw long snapper and kick returner in there. And I feel good about our gunners. So I guess just special teams in general. And that feels stable. It feels great. And everybody is on a long-term deal. So no concerns there. I would say special teams is at a good place. You know, corners in limbo. Linebackers in limbo, AJ Klein. Defensive line with Onyemata is in limbo. Offensive line, we need a guard. Quarterback is a mess until like that all gets figured out. Receiver sucks. You know, I guess running back. I guess running back's another one I would say I'm not worried about.
Yeah, I think they're all right and they get sorted. This is an interesting question too from Alfredo, Dave. Where would Drew Brees be playing if we had drafted Patrick Mahomes 3 years ago? That's a good question.
I mean, so that's assuming we. That's assuming we would have actually played.
You don't think Elway would have given up the farm to get Brees?
Oh my God!
He gave up the farm to get Peyton Manning.
Totally. Was this before Manning?
Totally. I mean, it would have been. It would have been.
This was not before Manning.
I mean, it would have been. It would have been going. It would have been going into 2018, I guess, because Drew Brees' contract.
It was right when they picked up Flacco.
Yeah.
And they traded a first-round pick to get Flacco, didn't
no,
they?
No, they traded like a fourth.
I'm just saying, Elway definitely would have said, Drew Brees is available, give up the farm.
Completely.
I don't see Drew in Denver.
Oh, I think after 2017, and let's just assume that 2017 had gone the exact same way, Minnesota would have given everything for Brees because they moved on from Case Keenum, who was an MVP. Say whatever you want about Case Keenum. He was an MVP candidate in 2017, and Minnesota was like, nah, we're going with Cousins. They would have paid anything for Brees. Like, I'm talking $35 million for 3 years because the Saints at that point, maybe they move on to Mahomes, but it would have been really – that would have been really dicey because for Kansas City, it was easy because Alex Smith, he was okay, but he wasn't winning playoff games. Like, for the Saints to move on after 2017 with Drew Brees, that would have been really
difficult. Is Alex Smith coming back next year?
What's that? He says he wants to. He almost died because of that injury from the Redskins because apparently he got a really bad infection.
Yeah.
Which was kind of hush-hush. This is an interesting question, Andrew. If you could choose one player from either Super Bowl team's free agent classes, who do you want and why?
I don't even know who's free agents from both of those teams.
I mean, you got Chris Jones, the defensive tackle from Kansas City.
There you go. Let me stop right there. No need to read any further.
You got Tariq Armstead from San Francisco. Yeah. Sammy Watkins, Kansas City.
Tariq Armstead?
Yeah, him. The defensive tackle.
His name is not Tariq.
Well, I would take Sammy Watkins. I like Sammy Watkins.
They're probably going to cut him. He'd immediately be the second best receiver on the Saints roster.
yeah, I was going to say.
Third
what,
best.
What position
don't
he,
forget
what,
Taysom.
What position does he play again? What position does he play, Sammy Watkins?
Wide receiver.
Does he have a pulse?
Occasionally.
Okay, I'll take him.
This is from Jed. Dave, how many Matt Ryan pancakes from Chez Tuttle would you eat before you're full? Or is it even possible to fill up?
Are you talking about is it supposed to be Shay Tuttle? Did you just say Chez?
Chez.
Yes, he said Chez. He did.
But he spelled it Chez. I guess right, he meant
Shay. How could you speak like this, my language? I don't understand. You say Chez, it's unbelievable. No, I come here, I try to respect you, and you talk like this shit. It's unbelievable.
I'm just reading the tweet from Chad.
You fucking insult me in France. It's unbelievable.
I thought he was...
I cannot.
French Jew makes an appearance.
Yes,
we'll have, we need to have a British. We need to have a, we need to have a foreigner off with Irish Kevin and French Andrew.
Okay, so what was the question again?
How many Matt Ryan pancakes from Shea Tuttle could you eat before you're full?
Much, much better. Thank you.
Are they like the pancakes from City Diner where they're like the giant?
Yes.
They're like huge ones? Oh, I can only eat half of those. It's too big. Too much for me.
You know, Ralph, the whole French thing reminds me that when we had the live podcast in New Orleans, and I can't remember, I mean, I apologize for not remembering who told me this, but I remember someone came up to me after the live show and said how much they missed Hot Take Boudreaux and what was the other one? Hot Take Boudreaux and Florida Fire. Florida Fire.
That was a very.
I just assumed that everyone hated that.
That was a very divisive product. 80% of the people fucking hate it, but the 20% that love it really loved it. It was very divisive.
Are you gonna bring that back in the summer? I really loved it. I'm like, really? You like that?
I thought
everybody hated it.
No, most people did. But the 20 people that loved it. Really, really love it.
Maybe if we do it, but we just talk about Taysom Hill, that's enough to make everybody happy.
That's what they did before those two guys. That's all they did was talk about Taysom Hill.
Good point.
Chaotic neutral ground side, he said. Apparently, during the Kitten Bowl, they had Alvin Kamara. And he says, we need to talk about this. I did not know about this, but I'm going to alert my wife, and I'm sure my wife. When we add another cat, which I'm sure we will, Kamara is going to be the name. Alvin Kamara.
Oh, that's got to be him. How many cats do you have?
Four.
You have four cats?
Four cats.
How many of them are Bengal cats?
One.
I mean, that's borderline. You're borderline cat people.
What do you mean, there's no borderline?
My wife is a total cat person.
How many do you need to be a cat person if four isn't enough? My God.
Well, because cat person is like, that's like a specific type of person.
I think there's a lot more that
you can just assume about a person without saying it. They're a cat person.
What more does Ralph need to do? He needs a fifth one.
Not to get off in a dark direction for the podcast.
Cat people have a lot of cats.
I don't want to get dark, but
my wife.
She has said repeatedly, if I die, she's going to take all the insurance money and buy a cat ranch.
Oh, she's a fucking crazy cat lady.
Right on cue.
They which know one? Talking about them.
Which one was it, Ralph? I mean, you've got so many. How could I possibly know which it's cat that was?
The meowing is just the Bengal cat. The rest of them are normal. If you were in a, this is from Wallace. If you were
wait, we're not moving on yet.
No.
How many litter boxes do you have?
Wait, what's that?
How many litter boxes are in your house? Like,
three.
Okay.
Wait. So you have two that share one? How does that work?
Well, one of them's like a giant litter box, and let me tell you,
Bengal cat?
My wife.
She was gone for the week in Vegas. I mean, cleaning the litter boxes is like a full time job. Like, it is.
Where do you keep the litter box?
It is horrifying. Dave, when you got four cats, you got to do that shit every day because it just piles up.
How does Max feel about the cats? How does Max feel about the cats?
He loves his mom, and his mom loves the cats, so he loves the cats. Although he's four, so he wants to like squeeze them to death and love them. You know?
Does he pull their tails at all?
Oh my God, yes.
So they hate him.
Oh yeah, pretty much. He almost he that kid has been scratched so many times by these cats. He's almost lost an eye a couple of times. It's not good. So moving on from
my wife
and her love of all things feline. If you were in a race, Dave, with Kyle Shanahan, and you spotted him a 10 to 25 yard lead, how many yards would you beat him in?
I don't know what's going on with our audio today.
I think this is like a tortoise in the hare type joke.
No, I think it's just the fact that, you know, Kyle Shanahan just, yeah, loves blow leads. I don't know what happened to Ralph. His audio has been sucking tonight, but
sorry.
I'm going to say I'd still probably beat him by 25 yards. And by the way, I'm watching the replay of the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
And the game's over and the Chiefs are celebrating. I totally forgot. Steve Spagnuolo has won another Super Bowl.
God.
How does this guy have, what, three Super Bowl rings?
Three rings.
How does this guy have three fucking rings? The next time somebody says Tom Brady is better than Drew Brees because he has more rings, I'm going to say, yeah, Steve Spagnuolo has three rings, okay? So I don't give a shit. Rings don't mean shit to me.
I think the Rams people, like, I know, like, Carney, I've talked to Mike Carney about Spags because he played for Spags when he was a head coach with the Rams. And I can't remember if Chris Long did or not, but, like, he has a terrible reputation amongst, like, the guys that I've talked to. And, like, Scott Shanley hates that guy. And it's so weird to me. Like, why is this guy so respected and how has he been so successful and yet – he can be so hated? And it's not like it's just the Saints. Like, and you talk to anyone in the Rams organization,
I feel like Spags, he's got three wings, but I feel like 2012 should subtract one of those rings off of his total. Like, having the worst defense in NFL history should take that away.
He beat Brady. I mean, someone just said this in the chat. You're absolutely right. Fredo did. He got two of his rings beating Tom Brady.
It's unbelievable.
And say what you want about Eli and David Tyree making the ridiculous catch, but make no mistake, the Giants won those games because their defense was ridiculous in both.
Yeah, the pass rush was ridiculous in both of the games.
Now, granted, I mean, I think I could coach JPP and Justin Tuck in their prime, and Strahan. You know, I could probably say, "Hey, just go rush the passer," and I'd be a pretty good defensive coordinator, for being honest.
So, would Taysom
Hill? Wait for XFL football this weekend. I cannot wait for more football this weekend. So excited.
But who are you even going to root for?
I don't know. I guess New York, since I'm from.
Oh, yeah, right. We need to talk about this. So, did you guys see that Kevin's adopted son is already?
Yeah. That's right. His back was so wrecked. They're like, no. And he said he made 19 out of 20 and like kicked like 450-yard field goals, and they're still like, nah.
Yep, Garrett Hartley is donezo. So what do we have left? I have Kikaha, and what do you have, Ralph?
I have...
You have some guy whose name you can't pronounce.
Right? Sammy Coates, who I thought was on the Saints, but it's totally not.
Simi Cobbs?
No, you have Simi Cobbs.
Simi Cobbs, oh yeah.
Yeah, you just mispronounced it again. Congratulations. Yeah. And who do you have?
I have Sherman Cobbs Beatty. I have Sherman Beatty, right? Former Tulane running back, yeah.
Yeah, Kikaha is totally...
But I'm calling him Lil Sherman Beatty, though.
So I'm probably not going to watch a single play of XFL.
Dave, I'll be watching the XFL. I won't lie. Like, unless the Pelicans are on at the same time, then no.
The Pelicans play tonight?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
The Pelicans are infuriating. They out-rebounded the Rockets.
God, I started watching in the fourth quarter. Had a chance to tie. Fucking everybody's missing fucking free throws.
They are fucking terrible. I don't know what the equivalent in
Drew Holiday is the king of missing clutch free throw.
Oh my God. He really is. He really is.
They could have fucking tied it up with free throws. Zion missed one. Drew missed two on a 3-point foul.
Yep. LSU basketball is freaking awesome, though.
Yeah, it's all going to be vacated in like 2 years.
I don't care about that.
But it won't matter.
I live in the now, Ralph.
You can't vacate my heart. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
Will Wade is as sleazy as they come, but he's ours, so we love him.
Go Tigers!
So that wraps it up for the show. Sorry about the audio issue in the middle. I actually turned off the soundboard and had to turn it back on, so there was like 25 seconds of dead air. I'm a terrible.
You're gonna fix that in post, right?
Yeah, no, probably. No, I will, because I have to add in the my bookie commercial and the Manscaped commercial at the top. So I have to do post production now. But everybody, thanks for joining us. Sorry, Kevin was MIA. I hope he's still alive. But everybody, it's been great. Support the show with Daily Show, $7 a month. Do it. You get swag. It's awesome. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, we hope you're alive, buddy. Until next time, the bar is closed.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.